Hello and welcome to the Grove podcast. I am back. Don't worry, ladies and gents, I'm back. Although we had a really good commander in chief, Tabs. Thank you so much for stepping in for me last week. How are you?
It was my pleasure and a very good evening to everyone.
Yeah, a very good but nervy evening, shall we say. We've beaten Man United 1-0. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about other small matters of other games that are left to play this season. And we'll look ahead to potentially what could be a very exciting Sunday next week, and a different Sunday to how we feel today, in a good way, in a good way. And let's start off with how you're feeling, Tabs, about today's game and the result overall when we beat Man United 1-0.
Therese, I'm happy, but I feel exhausted. That experience, that was just horrible, and I hate it when Arsenal and football does that to you. And it was like the complete antithesis of the Chelsea game, where you're sitting back and enjoying it and loving it, and life is great. It was a hard work by the team, and I think for us supporters, I think we all earned that result. But I did say before the game, whilst everyone was going on when he saw the lineup, oh, we've got to smash them 5-0, and oh, this team is shit, and this is going to be so easy. Oh my God, if we don't X, Y, whatever, you know. But I wasn't taking anything for granted, and I said I'll take 1-0 before the game, get the win, and get out of town. But I just didn't want it like that. And for me, there wasn't a huge amount really to enjoy about the game. Yeah, the results and the goal were nice, but yeah, I don't know. And it felt like the players were a bit overcome by the occasion, and not overcome with Man United or Old Trafford and the history there. Just I think the importance of the game. So. Geez, imagine what it would have been like if City had dropped points yesterday. So it just really led to a very un-Arsenal display, sloppy, passive, not very connected, just very heavy-legged. I don't know, there was something there. And it's not really that I feared Man United as such. You know, they didn't really offer a great deal. I just feared football. You know, football can be bloody stupid at times and so random. And when you play on the fine margins like today was, you know, you're always susceptible to a freakish occurrence, a dodgy decision, or a piece of outrageous skill. Now, luckily, none of those came to pass. And I said, we got the win, which was the most important thing. Like we said, now Everton is a very meaningful game. But yeah, it took a lot out of us. To do that. So there was a lot of will to win from everyone there, and we got it, and that's great. But just before I hand it back to you, Moz, there was one thing I did want to say was that Roy Keane said after the game that it was very easy for us, and to an extent it was. Yeah, I said if you look back, there wasn't a huge amount of pressure we were under. It just felt like that, and that we were playing in second gear. And if we needed to, if Man United equalised, we could have stepped up a level and gone through the gears. But I don't agree. I don't think so. And it's something that. As good as we've been adapting to change and coming up with formations and being Shapeshifter FC and all that, when we're playing poorly or a flat, I've not seen us go up against it. Right, okay, no, that's not good enough. That's just not something we've done this year, and maybe that's something to learn from next year. It just felt like if Man United equalised, I didn't see us suddenly going, let's shake it out of a slumber, let's go. I didn't think that was there. And every time we've had to deal with adversity this season, it's been from a position of strength or a position of playing really well, like, you know, against, was it Brentford or against Liverpool? We were playing bloody well. We just made a stupid mistake. So something to discuss and something for next year. But I just thought it was an interesting view how he saw the game versus, I don't know, how I saw. You know, if we got sucker punched, yeah, I think 1-1 would have been a very possible scoreline. Anyway, Moz, what about you? How did you feel?
I fully agree with you on that point. It didn't look like we were, and I said it at halftime, well, we're not coming out of first gear, but it didn't feel like we were even in for it. It feels like we were trying our best. And I think the commentator said very early on, you know, it's a very humid and clammy and muggy day, and could that be affecting the players? We've seen a lot of players slipping around as well. And it just seemed like there was a couple of stages in the game, and you've mentioned that there's not really much to talk about in terms of key moments, but there was parts of play where I felt like we were about to get into the final third, and it was just one misplaced pass or one poor body feint. You know, I'm thinking Declan Rice and Thomas Partey come to mind when I say those two things, but it just didn't seem like we were firing on all cylinders. And what really annoys me about that is I've got friends who are Man U fans, and they're like, oh, if that's how Arsenal have played all season, then how the hell are they top? But it was just an off day for us. Like,
yeah,
the nerves are... This team has been in this position before, albeit not top with one game left, or potentially with two. Don't know what's going to happen with Spurs and City on Tuesday. But you need to think, it's a very young team. They must be so nervous. You know, everything is riding on that game, because essentially, if we don't beat Man United, we pretty much hand the title to Spurs.
Yeah.
You know, Spurs go out and get a draw or win against
City. We're not handing that title to Spurs. God, you know.
I'm blaming my illness on that. I'm just a Spurs fan now, Tabs. So Spurs, they can win however many titles they want up until Tuesday night, and then we'll stop. That's what I mean. You know, a draw or a loss today would have handed the title over to City. Yeah. So I think from there, it's the players were nervous. How I feel about the game and the result in general, fine. Look, we got out of there, we went to Old Trafford and we've got 3 points, right? Simple as that. And the only downside to it, and I think this takes me into the highlight and low light, I guess, so if you don't mind, the highlight was, well, I'll start with the low light, just on that, is, you know, we went to Old Trafford and we scored kind of early-ish in the game, and we should have killed the game off in the first half. We should have went all out in the second period of the first half and went for a second and a third, potentially, and killed the game off. We let Man U come back into that in the second stage of the first half, and they were getting confident. And they have no end product. Hoyland's rubbish. Garnacho was garbage. Antony, when he came on, did nothing. You know, their team was rubbish, and that they played okay. Amad Diallo and Garnacho had okay games, but yeah, they were up for it. The highlight on the flip side is, look, we were 1-0 very early on in the game, and we've still managed to come away and keep our clean sheet, not concede, and have a solid-ish defensive performance. Saliba was outstanding, so there's a highlight right there. You know, we can win games the dirty way as well, and we've shown that all the way through the season. It just makes me always wonder then the what-ifs, and I hate doing the what-ifs, but it's just like the what-ifs, you know, if we played like this against other teams and just grinded out a 1-0 win. But look, I won't be seeing that next Sunday or next Monday when I'm speaking to you at the parade, so it's all good. What was your highlight and low light of the game?
I think I've said this before recently, the final whistle. That was my highlight. I was like, Christ for that. That was like, yeah. I was that last 10 minutes, I was pacing around. I think I emptied the dishwasher twice. It just, I you know, in the garden, you know, I was just like, yeah. And then the final whistle was it. But no, yeah, I think you touched on it. You know, that's our 11th clean sheet away from home. I mean, yeah, championship winning teams are built on defenses, and look, we've done pretty much everything we can in order from a defensive standpoint. So yeah, if you're not playing great from an attacking point of view, you get your one goal. And yeah, you hold on to that. Yeah, it's the good old traditional 1-0 to the Arsenal, and that's what we built good teams on in the past. And so you're right. Saliba was really good. Like that tackle on, I think it was Garnacho. I was like, go to him. No, he knows what he's doing. Sticks his leg out, tackle, and away he goes. So that was, I think, the final whistle and the clean sheet, as you came to it, was good. In terms of the low light, I touched on it. It was just, yeah, how poor we played, how leggy, how the sort of occasion just got to the players, which again, something they'll learn from. I wrote it down actually in my notes. I just saw Martin Odegaard, and I don't know, it's a soft factor. Maybe it's something, maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's after the game you're putting a story onto something. But I wrote down in my notes, Martin Odegaard didn't look as confident as he always normally does. He didn't look assured. There was just something in his face, in his eye, that just, when I was looking at the player, you know, the before the game in the tunnel, It just looked different. Maybe that's me projecting. It just seemed different. And what played out was what I sort of wrote down. So, yeah, maybe it's a bit of projection. Maybe it's what happened in the game. But it just, yeah, it felt, you know, that point around the players seemed a bit nervous, a bit edgy. How they got the 1-0 win and then the 1-0 lead and they went to make sure, okay, we're not gonna lose that. If we get a chance to double it, great. And I think 2-0, that game's over. Man United aren't coming back. You know, yeah. I think you touched on it. You know, we're talking about the game and the result. We let them come into the edge of our box, but really, did they have any clear cut chance? I think the only one was the Hoyland one when he fell over. Other than that, a couple of shots from Garnacho. But so it's another one of these games. If you look back from a neutral perspective, are they scoring? No, they create nothing. They get to the edge of the box, few flicks, whatever. They're not scoring. We're just nervous because football, as I said, can be stupid and something fluky can happen. And as I said, when you're playing on those margins, that makes it even the edgier. But we were in control from a defensive point of view. We just lacked that attacking threat, the fluidity, the link-up play. You know, White, Odegaard, Saka. I've never seen him so disjointed, you know, and stuff like that. And Lukaku and Rice.
Yeah. Nerves, perhaps. Yeah. Honestly, look, Odegaard is the captain of a team who have not been in this situation for 20 years. You know, 20 years that Arsenal have last won the league. And I think that what you're referring to at the start when you were talking was the kind of still or the video sort of him in the tunnel before he came out. And he just looked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just nervous. And
yeah.
And it's the history. It's the weight of the history on the shoulders of going to Old Trafford and getting a result as well. So, but look, at the end of the day, job done. Yeah. And we got there. And I was reading Arteta's post-match press conference, and obviously, you know, he won't give much away, but he just sounds, and he, from reading between the lines, he was like, look, we got out of there with history that's against us, that we've got out of there with 3 points, and we take it down to the last game of the season where friends and family will all be there, and, you know, the players will do the walk around the pitch and stuff anyway, so it's going to be a nice atmosphere, and we leave it. And what more could you ask for? You know, that's all he probably said to the players as well before the game, is just make sure you let it go to the last game. Don't hand City the title like we did last season.
Yeah, that would have been. Yeah, and I think he was disappointed. He understood. And again, we got the win, so you can sort of. And look, what, you know, that performance, right, done, bin it. You know, Everton at home next week is going to, at home, it's going to be great. I think he knows. That's not going to be repeated next week. It's such a different thing. So I think he's disappointed in some aspects. He pointed out that, you know, we weren't aggressive enough. We allowed certain things, but it's not one like if it was early in the season. Said, right, we need to fix this shit because we ain't getting anything if we continue like this. Whereas I think he's pretty confident that won't happen at Everton, against Everton at home. So I think he just allows it to. He can understand it. Yeah, he can say that. Yeah, this is football. It's we're playing with emotion, we're playing with humans, we're not like, you know, Lance Armstrong FC, they're all a bunch of robots, you know, juiced up to the max that they can just get through this and so on like that. So as we said, another clean sheet, and that's now we're unbeaten against the traditional top six, funnily enough. That top six has never been top six but ever, you know, the traditional top six. And that's the 27th win in the Premier League, which is the most we've ever got. So,
and what, you know, really annoying is, like, how can you end up winning 28 if we beat Everton? 28 out of 38 wins in the Premier League and you still don't win the title. That's what we're up against. And like you say, we're up against juiced up robot and League Two players, aren't we? That's who we're facing. So,
yeah.
In terms of Man U's performance, then, I don't think... This puts it perfectly. So a text from one of my friends who's a huge United fan, lives in London, by the way, funnily enough. He just said, he said he was happy with the squad that Ten Hag picked, which was really interesting. But he said, we're not going to be much of a threat to you guys. And then after the game, he says that they played a lot better in this game than he thought, but they knew they would concede. They just didn't know how many. So... it just shows you, like, and Andy, who was at the game in behind enemy lines, he even said, look, before the game, fans were talking before balls even being kicked about how Arsenal were going to win 3-0 or whatever. So, yeah, they didn't play as bad as what I think. And I honestly put that down to the fact that, look, Man U and Arsenal, maybe aside from Tottenham, Arsenal and City United, biggest rivals, right? Maybe even the biggest, for talking about history's sake. They would have wanted to rain on our parade so badly, but the only rain they got was the roof that fixed. And it rained on their own fans.
Yeah, so, that was terrible. Yeah. But no, they weren't as bad. Well, they could not be as bad as they were against Palace. And it's really annoying. Why couldn't we play that team? But that's fine. And I mean, I sort of, there was a couple of things. I think they tactically changed, you know, the way they played. But they had sort of players in there that maybe just had to put a bit more effort in or just had some of that soft factor stuff that made them play a bit better. But it was funny. It was the older guard that let them down and got the goal. You know, the Casemiro mistake, and it was a poor kick by Onana. So actually, the youngsters that came in and that formation, I put it like to when we played Chelsea 3 years ago. You know, when Saka and Smith Rowe came in and we were playing badly, that it was a bit like that. In a way, they got nothing to. Okay, it's a high pressure moment, but they had nothing to lose, because if they lose the game, well, no one's going to say anything. Of course, they don't want to be embarrassed, but you know. But if they draw a win, that's amazing. So yeah, you could see Ahmad was playing with a lot of freedom. I mean, he's a classy player. You know, again, no end product from anyone. But you know, I think because of the team he did pick and the structure that they played, and they were a bit more disciplined, just allowed them to be better than we thought. It wasn't like you've got Rashford just walking around the park thinking he's the dog's bollocks and he won't put a shift in, or Bruno whinging and moaning when players aren't doing stuff like that. It was a bit more of a lowest common denominator group who were like just triers and worked hard and did, you know, that, you know, the phrase, you know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Well, luckily we're a talented, hardworking team, so. But that was it. So they were hardworking. They just didn't have that end piece. So that's why then it wasn't like the Palace game, or it wasn't like Burnley, or it wasn't like the other shit show that Man United had been having all season. And they changed a few things tactically. And then also, you know, we didn't play well enough to take advantage of it and stuff like that. So it was sort of like they upped their game, we lowered our game, and we were still too good for them. But yeah, it was, and that's why all this stuff about 5-6, 7-0. Yeah, I mean, that's just fan talk, and yeah, the reality is something different.
The confidence I have though for this side going into next season, regardless of what happens, just based on how we've played in 2024, Villa result aside, if we can continue this form, you know, who's to say we can't get 30 plus wins next season, and the squad will be 1 year. You know, this is obviously Declan Rice and Kai Havertz, and obviously we're going to have Timber back, and Raya hopefully will be signed. So, first year together, but just imagine what next season will be like as well. It's just, that's what I'm even more excited for, you know, let alone next Sunday, what could happen. It's just what could potentially happen next season, what we could win.
If we can put the two halves that we put over the last two seasons.
Exactly.
But, so the first half of two seasons ago and the second half of this season, you put that together, I would imagine we'd be unstoppable. Well, you'd hope to think we're unstoppable. Luck will come into it, yes and no, in terms of injuries. The injuries we've had, we've basically may be able to cover, but you know, if we have an injury to any of that triangle at the back, Raya, Saliba, Gabriel, or even maybe less so White, for any lengthy period of time, then yeah, it's different. So if the variables are the same, then great. But I'm excited for it. I'm already excited for next season, thinking about how we've done now. You know, we put that together. We've learned a lot, and if we could, we need to just get over that hump. We you got to break that duck. And I think once we do that with this team, yeah, it'd be very hard to stop us.
Yeah, the good thing in terms of injuries, I know we're digressing a wee bit, but the good thing in terms of injuries is we've been really lucky, really fortunate this season. Mm. We've not really lost anyone of note for any significant length of time. So that... We've been able to cover it. But what I mean is, like, we've not lost Odegaard, Saka, Rice, Saliba, Gabriel, Raya for more than, you know, 2-3-4 matches, which a lot of other teams, like, look at City, they lost Haaland and De Bruyne for the best part of half a season. They lost Haaland for a couple of months, you know. So we've been lucky, because I think we were pretty much one or two injuries away from covering, yes, but being the same team, potentially not. In terms of stats,
yeah.
So, to be fair, I would say it was pretty even. Like, United had more shots, but we had more on target, and no one really had any huge chances of note. Like, I can't think of any United shots that were like huge, glaring chances. The one you mentioned, the one where Højlund fell, I think at the start of the game, that was probably their best. If he didn't fall, potentially, you know, could have elicited a good save. What I will say is, you know, good saves. Orana made two very good saves in the second half. The one from Declan Rice, where he kind of palmed it around for a corner, and another one from Martinelli, which I think Martinelli could have done better, maybe, and potentially had a shot earlier.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
good save.
That was my feeling on that one as well. Yeah,
good save.
My feeling on that as well. Or if he hits it lower, always, you know, if he hits it high and goes in, we're great. I had that sense as well. I thought, could you have shot earlier? But then there was a shot behind the goal that they took, and no, he still had. So I think there was still quite a few players in front of him. So I think he took the best chance. But yeah, it was a good save, but it was one of those ones you'd expect your keeper to make, even if you got T-Rex arms. Yeah, you'd expect him to make it. But we had the better chance, even in first half, second half. So overall, you know, 1.7 xG to 0.64. Yeah, so. You know, so I mean, I think the big chance they're talking about. Well, I don't know if big chances they also include the goal or not. So if it's not the goal, then it would. Oh, okay. Well, then that's
because underneath. So when big chances one, it says big chances miss zero. So obviously we took our big chance and we scored it.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah, there we go.
So nothing.
But even like our passing was down, like only 83% accuracy, which is again, I think, not like us. And even our corners were, a bit grey. So. But yeah, look, I think we all agree. We were just off. We were just off, but did enough. We did enough. I said we were a bit too passive, too narrow, too sideways, too safe. And I think you said it. We could have gone to kill the game off at 1-0. I think that would have been there for the taking. But I think we just retreated a bit.
Do you think watching the game, I kind of was. You wrote here that you're crying out for Martinelli almost. It was almost like a Martinelli came over Trossard, which I do tend to agree with, but I also think Jorginho should have started potentially over Partey. Maybe not on reflection now, but I just think Partey from the start was off it. Arteta would have recognised that in the second half, at least at half time. I thought he would have made the change, but it was weird. It was a game where no one clicked, and I think I mentioned in the group chat that it was only until the second half where I seen Ben White, Odegaard and Saka all linked together for the first time. And it was like around the 60th or 70th minute, Ben White made the overlap run and Odegaard and Saka kind of passed at the corner of the box. And it was just like a very un-Arsenal performance that we're not used to seeing. It was weird. Whether United did well to nullify us and play, you know, tactically they played differently to Gary Neville, would say they're playing different to how they normally play and whatnot, I don't know. But yeah, it was a weird one. It was really weird.
Yeah. No, they would, like, you know, I think Amrabat was tasked with getting into Odegaard's face a lot of the time. So again, an on-form Odegaard, he just swings around that, passes around that, it's not an issue. But it's that combination of someone trying a bit harder and us being off that makes it look worse, I think. So yeah, no, they were playing very, very narrow. Man, you know, they were pressing hard, they were pushing hard. Yeah, they worked hard, but they just had no end product. And on the Nelly point, I think we said before the game, Trossard is scoring, he scored the goal again, so it's not a case of wanting Martinelli over Trossard, but it was just such a Martinelli type game, because I think a bit of pace against that defence would have been an informed Martinelli. Yeah, we're talking pre-injury and stuff like that. And even you saw again, he's done it again. This is the third game in a row. He's come on, he's caused trouble, had a chance, didn't quite take it. But I think that it was definitely a game. Had we had the Martinelli of old and so on, then it would have been definitely a game with him for him with the space. But yeah, you cannot deny. As a Trossard, it's not that he's anonymous or doesn't do anything. He did some defending and stuff like that, and he was part of some of our good play. And he comes up clutch again, or in, well, he's there in the right place at the right time in the 21st minute.
Great kind of awareness from Havertz. When the pass was played to him, I thought he was miles off. I think you wrote as well, he was miles off. Remind me who passed it to Havertz. Was it Ben White or was it
Ben White? So
was it Ben White?
No, it was both. So Anana, so what happened? Casemiro went wide right to try and split the press. So then Anana went left and went long, and Ben White it just landed at Ben's white feet, and I think he did a first time volley over the defense to Havertz. And I was like, you were saying, oh, he's miles offside. And it's like, there's Casemiro having a picnic in the penalty area. It's like, yeah, you know, he's finishing off a pork pie when he's like walking out. And it's like, oh, wow, okay, that's great. And then Trossard loses his man easily. Wan-Bissaka cuts in front near post. Very, very simple, goal in the end. But it was the old guard, or I say the old guard, but the more experienced players that let Man United down. And it's then that's been letting them down all season.
Great awareness. His hand up to Ben White and ask for the pass. He looked to his right, seeing that Casemiro was there, and some of them said Casemiro ran back like you do when you're crossing the road for someone who's letting you pass, and you know that kind of awkward walk/jog, and you don't really know what to do, and you stick your hand up, and look, good goal, well taken finish as well for Trossard to get in front of Wan-Bissaka. That was really the only highlight of the first half. There was a penalty shout as well, but nothing in it for me. I didn't really see that Partey kick the ball, but I seen that Hamad Diallo stepped on Partey's foot. So,
I think he just nicked the ball a bit, and it's not a foul. But it was one of these ones. It's not like just the way he did it. Partey was on the ground for quite a while before Hamad actually reached him. So, you know, not saying. So no, it wasn't a foul. I don't know. There was sort of clutching straws.
Gary Neville was almost creaming in his pants when he found out that the VAR was checking it, and he was desperate. And I always wonder if VAR can hear the commentary, but I'm sure I've seen something online mid-season about how VAR listened to what Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher say or something about. I'll need to find that.
Maybe after the game, or they're interested in. I'd be very surprised if during the game they do, because that would be just an unnecessary influence. And it's like the referee. The referee doesn't listen to it on the pitch, and neither the linesman. So I don't think they're listening to watching Sky Sports.
No.
for the game. But that's, I think, you know, normally for first half key moments. I think it was the I can't remember which game. Well, it was the Bournemouth game, about 2 pages worth. And this one I got early.
Healthy as well. Chelsea, here you had about 2 pages. Yeah. For first and second half, we only got less than half a page.
Yeah, I mean, second half.
Yeah.
Go on.
I was just going to say, in terms of second half, really, there was nothing of note. There was a couple of shots, but the only one really that I was worried for was the 77th minute when Garnacho had that shot. Saka had acres of space. He was running down. I think United played a misplaced pass, and I think it was Wan-Bissaka who ran too far forward. The ball was behind him. Saka picks it up, looks to his left, and he sees players. And look, Wenger told him, use your weak foot more, so I'm not going to blame him for that. But he played a very poor right-footed pass into two of our players, Odegaard and Partey, I think it was. Gave the ball away, and then suddenly you're thinking, oh my God, here it is, 50 minutes to go, could it be 1-1? And Garnacho, if he had hit that on target, I don't know if Raya would have got that, because it was high, and Raya went to this ground pretty quick. So, yeah, that was the only one where I was just like, kind of heart and mouth moment. But really, after that, man, you never had any chances, really, didn't they?
Nothing. No, nothing. And neither did we. And yeah, the game sort of petered out. If you're a neutral watching that, nothing really to write home about. So yeah, so game peters out, 6 minutes of injury time, and a very relieved. I mean, the players were happy, sort of celebration. You know, Saliba screaming, David Raya screaming. You know, they looked a happy bunch. They looked a happy bunch. You know, got the Man United sort of hoodoo off our back a bit, but that's still only, you know, again, I think I said the other day, since 1989, we've not beaten Man United, it's only been by one goal. it's also it's some stupid statistic that we can't. If we beat Man United at Old Trafford, it's literally only one goal. We haven't beaten them by more than two goals for quite some time. I can't remember what it was, but it's some. But I said we take that all day at this stage of the season. It's not about performances. It's about getting the win, getting out, and move on to the next game. So did any player particularly stand out for you? You know, I'm not going to say bad because I think everyone was just below par. Nothing terrible, nothing really poor, but just a 5 out of 10 performance by a lot of players. But anyone that stood out?
Apart from Saliba, the only person I can think of was Onana. I was watching him closely in parts of the game and how commanding he was being in terms of...
Onana or Raya?
Onana, in a good way. Look, I'm giving him some credit. I was watching him just because he's always got a mistake in him, and he was being quite commanding. But the thing is, you can't command a centre-back who is a centre-mid and a centre-back who has only come to United to get fitness to go and play in the Championship. So he was trying his best, and you could tell he was getting really annoyed with they weren't listening to him. But I'm not saying he had a good game. I was just, he stood out. You know, you asked me the question, did any player stand out?
Yeah.
Yeah, Onana stood out to me. But for us, it was, Saliba. He was head and shoulders above everyone else, I think, today on the pitch. When you look at the ratings, I was just having a look at the FOTMOB ratings as well. That it's interesting to note that in terms of, for the Arsenal team, well, I'll say one thing is Onana got 7.2. So, you know, I think FOTMOB also recognised that he had a good game. The only person for United who was better than that was Casemiro, 7.6, which is so weird. Like, it's crazy to think that, you know, he's the one that gave that goal away, but not directly.
Yeah, but he was at fault.
Yeah, he's still their best player.
Wow.
For us, the worst player for Arsenal, can you guess who it was? With a rating of 6.8.
Well, still quite, the eye test for me was Partey, but maybe Ben White.
It was Martin Odegaard.
But I don't ever criticise him, so that's fine.
Yeah, Saka, 7.6. Yeah. Everyone else kind of 7, 7.1. White, 7.4. And Trossard.
Very high. I mean, I don't know how FOTMOB do their ratings, but that feels high to me.
They go on, you know, like passes, duels won, tackles made, dribbles, chances created, passing accuracy, shots, XG, all that kind of thing, and it all just combines. Okay. What was really interesting, I was just having to think about this, is United had Willy Kambala on the bench, who is a recognised centre-back, who isn't a bad player when I've watched him play, and they decided to still play Casemiro, which was really interesting. It was almost to fit Amrabat in the middle to push Casemiro back. It was weird.
I think he was injured, so he's coming back from injury, some of that. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. He shows it was a mistake. Maybe he's trying to make a statement to the club, say, hey, I need more player, you know, whatever it's is like. But yeah, he came out eventually. But yeah, I think he's come back from injury. So there we go. I mean, for me, there was a couple of other players. I don't know about Reyes' overall game, seemed all right, but again, in the last 10 minutes, he did it the same against Tottenham. He really came out and was claiming some really good crosses. And just eases the pressure. When you've got a keeper that comes there and if there's a cross going and he gets it from either a corner or from a cross and just gets it and calms everyone down. I was really pleased with that. That was sort of like, I thought it was quite impressive. And I said he did it against Tottenham really well. And then also Havertz. He wasn't winning so many duels, or I think Evans sort of had him a bit and you could see him jostling a bit or arguing with each other a bit, but he did so much off the ball work today instead of sort of being the first line of defence and then coming back in, and he would obviously form part of the midfield, you know, defending in front of the defence. So that was really good. And that's now in the last 13 Premier League games, that's 14 goals or assists in the last 13. So again, end product involved, you know, doing a lot of dirty work, but also then being, productive. And, you know, him and Trossard have, you know, the last few games have really shone in terms of goals and assists and, you know, just hopefully getting us over the line.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
No one got predictions right here. There's any point speaking about that. I mean, you went for your old-fashioned 3-1 and...
No, 4-2. I was expecting a basketball match. No, it was you and Jamie that went 3-1.
No, the only basketball we're talking about now for the next part of the podcast is the chicken on basketball that is Tottenham Hotspur FC. So, look, Tabs, you are the voice of reason. You are the person who has the most measured and honest opinions, and you just know everything, right? I need you to tell me right now, and the listeners, are Spurs going to get a result against Manchester City on Tuesday?
I can't see it. They even struggled.
I need you to give me some good news.
I'm sorry. I would have more faith in West Ham than Tottenham, to be honest. And all this stuff about, oh, Tottenham will let City win. And no, they won't let City win. City will beat Tottenham because City are really good and Tottenham are really crap. It's nothing to do with Downing talks. And also what the fans want and the way the players are. And if Man United had equalised today and then basically handing City the title, do you think the players wouldn't have celebrated? Do you think the fans wouldn't have celebrated? Of course they would have done. So not buying into that. Look, and the players... Tottenham players have got to do what they're going to do. If Villa lose by a couple of goals tomorrow against Liverpool, Tottenham are still in the fight for fourth. It's still a long shot, but they're still in for the fight for fourth. So the only thing in our favour is City don't have a good record at Tottenham. They've not even scored in the Premier League and at the new stadium, I don't believe. So again, if we're going hoodoos and a bit of history there and all the rest of it, that's in our favour. What's not in our favour is that Tottenham are shit and City are really good. And just the way that City have dealt with the likes of Fulham and they're just swatting away these teams at the moment. I think they've got like 21 goals in the last five fixtures or something stupid like that. They don't seem to be feeling under pressure. And I think I wrote down here is sort of like the performance we had today. You don't see City have those types of performances. I've not seen that from them. They may be boring. They may be just functional, but you don't see a subpar, 5 out of 10 performance from them. They just get the job done, but in a very, boring, functional manner. And I think that's just where they are at the moment. Even more than functional because they're banging in a ton of goals. So, sorry, Moz. My heart really wants Tottenham to get something, and there is a possibility because it's football and football is stupid, but it's unlikely, I'm afraid.
Here's what I think. I agree with you that Spurs players will not want to lose the game or not go out there to lose the game. That's, you're a professional footballer. You're playing for integrity and respect. You won't just want to hand City a win.
Oh, unless you're Diop for Fulham.
Yeah, you're not Issa Diop for Fulham. Or Alex Iwobi, who's I have tweeted a couple of things and commented on his Instagram posts. He posted something. Sorry, I'm just changing the subject very quickly. Alex Iwobi, I used to like him. But he posted something on Instagram, right? And this is so weird. He posted a picture of him smiling with enjoyable season at the cottage today. You lost 4-0 to City to hand the team that you used to play against, the rivals, pretty much the league almost. And he's putting pictures of him volleying the ball and dribbling through City players. And by the looks of the pictures, it's like, oh, Fulham have won 4-0 here. And then everyone's just commenting saying, like, what are you on about, mate? I just commented saying, you're an imbecile. So hopefully he's it. But look, at the end of the day, they weren't going to do anything. I had that premonition, but I was wrong. I do apologise. But here's what I think. So it's not the players for Spurs that will be thinking about this, but if City or when City will beat Spurs, all the fans will be like, oh, yes. We told you so. We're going to roll over for City to win that game. But no, that's not going to happen. It's going to happen, like you say, because Tottenham are rubbish. That's why. But part of me thinks, and I've looked at the head-to-heads, and City just somehow have a hoodoo at that ground. They have a hoodoo against Spurs. For some reason, I can just see Spurs scoring. Whether they scored enough to stop City.
Yeah, consolation goal.
Yes, 9-1. Spurs now top of the league and win it on goal difference.
It's going to be so annoying. Not only are they going to lose, they're going to make sure that the goal difference is really good as well.
But no, I mean, look, I just have this funny feeling in the back of my head that I'm a big believer in, like, not so much, you know, like, kind of, I'm a believer in luck, but I'm a believer in fate and destiny. And I just have this thing that from the start of the season, everything that's happened and everything that's went our way and the luck and just, you know, there's one final moment, there's one final thing that's to happen. And I just see it as Tuesday night potentially could be our moment. And then we go, you know, play against Everton and... yeah, that's it. I just have this. There's too many factors to have. It's like 2003, the last time the Northern Lights were there, and then last night we see them again. It's just, that must mean something, right?
Correlation and causation are not the same thing.
But it must mean something. And then, you know.
No, it's when, just pure coincidence.
20 years, and it's just like 20 is a nice number. And I don't know. It's just something's telling me in my. And last season, after the West Ham. Last season, I was like, yeah, you know what? It's done. But something's telling me in my gut, in my deepest part of my gut, maybe I need to take more probiotics. That's what
it must have been your dinner. No, look, we all want that to be the case. Or we all want it to be a chance, yeah, because there's no guarantee against Everton. But, you know, can you imagine it comes down to a shootout against Everton? Or a shootout between City and Everton on the City and Arsenal on the final day. Yeah, you know. Which team is gonna concede or score the most goals?
I don't think it goes down to goal difference, even if Spurs draw with City. I really don't. I think
because if Spurs draw with City, then we're on equal points.
Yeah,
and so we'll have to go to goal difference.
No, but what I mean is if Spurs draw with City, you'll have three more goals. So I just can't see. I can't see City overturning a 3-goal deficit on the last game.
Well, it'll be 4 because we'd have to get one goal. Can you not see 6-0 and we win 1-0?
No, definitely not. The clock end will be sucking that ball into the net multiple times.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a euphemism, but it's not. The ball will be getting sucked into the net by the clock end on Sunday. I promise you that. And Tabs in my gut, I can feel it. I don't know what it is.
You need to go check where you're putting your dinner.
If Spurs draw with City or beat City on Tuesday, we'll do a special episode of the podcast.
Absolutely.
We just talk about, you know, we'll tell everyone how to get tickets off the exchange or something to come to the game to watch us lift that trophy. But no, look, it's still been an unbelievable season. I remember being on a pod with you and Whale at the very kind of towards the start, thinking, look, if we don't win anything this season, I'll be so angry and so disappointed. But now I've made peace with the fact that we might not, and I'm still really proud of how far we've come. We had a good showing in the Champions League. We only got knocked out by one goal. We've had a very good showing in the Premier League. Cups, potentially the FA Cup, League Cup are the kind of concerns, but whether we were going for them, I don't know. You know, we had our fingers in other pies at the moment, and it's just... one game shootouts aren't really, I don't know, it just wasn't to be.
It's not our focus.
Overall, I'm just so excited for next season, and I just, pre-season's going to drag, and I hate it so much. But...
well, I think we'll be lucky because we've got the Euros, and then there's the Olympics, so actually it might come around pretty quick. So we got a few distractions, you know, compared to other years. I agree, it's been an amazing season no matter what. One of the best. I talked about it with Jamie last time. I think this is the second best team we've had, you know, in terms of ability, skill, performance, enjoyment since the Invincibles. Okay, may not have been other more successful teams, but yeah, you know, we've got to enjoy this, got to love this. This is today aside. we play some pretty good stuff, and we are very good. We're just up against someone who is also very good and just that ever so little bit better. And what can you do? You know, I saw on Twitter, and I'm going to put it here, someone calling him Lance Armstrong. Yeah, I think that's an apt way. And let's hope that they get the same treatment as dear Lance at some point in the future. So we'll see. But look, I think I just updated this. You know, 46 points since the turn of the year. You know, 1-15, drawn 1, lost 1. I mean, and you're still not winning a league off that. You know, and they've got 45 points and won 14, drawn 3, lost 1. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just nuts. Just that's the levels.
This Arsenal team have won more points this season than 7 of Sir Alex Ferguson's 13 Premier League winning teams.
Yeah. So
it just shows the levels that we're at now. And yeah, like I say, next season, I can see it. I can see big things happening. But anyway, penultimate time. What are you looking forward to and not looking forward to in the upcoming fixture? No, sorry, not the penultimate time. This is the last time we'll do this.
The last time, yes.
Yeah, sorry. So
last time for this season.
Yeah, well, last time for this season anyway. We're not going anywhere. What are you looking forward to and not looking forward to then in the upcoming fixture? Everton at home.
I was going to say meeting the Grove, but meeting up with their fellow Grovers. Tickets pending. I mean, me and you are very fortunate to have got tickets either through the ballot or the exchange. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with you this weekend, going to the game. I hope it's a celebration, either the ultimate celebration of the Premier League or just a celebration of, you know, how good we've been. And I have been to the last couple of home games, like last year against Wolves, and I think the previous one against Everton. You know, I think it was 4-5-0 drummings, and they were brilliant. You know, we'd obviously lost we'd lost either certain placings or the league by then, and they were really good celebrations. Sunny day, new kit, bundle of goals. They were great fun. So I'm looking forward to that and whatever happening, and we don't get too despondent. You know, depending on how, you know, if we lose out in the league by the odd goal, then that might be a bit hard to swallow. But so looking forward to that. Not looking forward to if it is really tense, really close, and we're all there with our terrace trannies, you know, the radio. Waiting for City result to come in, and that we're dependent on the league based on what happens at City. I don't know. No, look, that's going to be horrible. There's going to be a lot of people walking around the concourse, I think, if that's the case. That's it. What about you?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, walking around the concourse, the last time I did that was, God, that was a while back, last season. Can't remember what game it was, but I think I left in like 80 minutes just to go to the toilet and then take a breather and come back.
If they're showing the City game, I think a lot of people and we've won our game, and the City game's on the TV. So then there'll be a lot of people there watching that.
God, I'm not looking forward to that at all. That's my not looking forward to is like City draw on Tuesday, and then it's 3-0 Arsenal, and it's 5-0 City, and it's still 5 minutes to go, and then they bring on some random juiced up 16-year-old who scores a hat in the last 5 minutes, and but what I am looking forward to though is actually spending a non-match evening with you, Tabs, on the Saturday, and other members of the group who will be at the Arse Blog, Arse Vision podcast. They are technically our competitors, but look, we need to go and see what they're up to.
There's no competition. There's no competition at all.
No, of course not.
We're far better.
Imitation is the best form of flattery.
Yeah, exactly.
As they say. So I'm looking forward to that, but also looking forward to just this week. It's going to be relaxing. I've managed to secure my ticket on the exchange. Have I mentioned that before? And I'm just looking forward to relaxing and just helping other people get their tickets now this week. Yeah. I'm not really stressing about mine. I've got my travel booked, my hotel, free cancellation as well. So don't worry if the worst happens. So looking forward to that. In terms of the actual match,
you might find a lot of people wanting to sleep on the floor if things go well on Sunday afternoon.
Well, I'm still trying to convince Fraser to book his bloody travel and just stay with me in the hotel for the weekend, but he's umming and awing about it. So Fraser, if you're listening to this, which will be way to work, please put your finger out and book it.
Get yourself down here.
Yeah, why not? Even without a ticket, it's going to be a great atmosphere, you know, and people are saying, I think you even mentioned it, Tabs, like after Tuesday, if City win, tickets will appear in the exchange. I don't know, because it's still going down to the last game of the season, so anything could happen.
But it is West Ham. And I think, as I said, West Ham have got apart from the relegated teams, the worst defensive record.
But West Ham
anything can happen.
Points off us.
Yeah.
So I mean, that had more
to do with us. Yeah, true.
Yeah, well, okay. But you never know.
True.
And the West Ham drew with City in 2022. So it's not that long ago.
Earlier in the season. No, back in the day, back in black and white, West Ham did draw in City.
No, they did. City obviously beat them 3-1 earlier on this season. And last season, they beat them twice. But in terms of Everton, 60 seconds, I want to just touch on. I'm not worried about them at all. I think we're going to smack at least 4 goals past them on Sunday, regardless of the situation. Sean Dyche will... They're safe from relegation now, aren't they? Obviously, the Luton are... Luton are down now, so pretty much. So Everton, they're a decent team. They beat Liverpool and they've had points deductions. I think, how many points did they get deducted in total? Was it 6?
But yeah, but I think they would be mid-table or, you know, just below mid-table if it wasn't for the point deductions.
They'd currently be, if Everton weren't deducted those points, they would currently be in 10th position. So
yeah, so, but still, they're 10th. So you're right. It'll be a typical... Well, I'd say typical. They're a typical Dutch team. They're physical, but not great. Nothing special. Yeah, we should win. Will the occasion get to us? Don't know. I think we'll be different. I think the home crowd, everything. I think fine. But yeah, they are in a good run of form. I think they haven't lost in the last 5. But their away record is pretty pants. I mean, away from home, the last 5 is lost, drawn. So yeah, it shouldn't be anything really to fear. But as you said, you know, anything can happen with West Ham, Man City, or Tottenham, Man City. Anything can happen here. But I'm not expecting it. They shouldn't have too much of a threat. Their overall numbers aren't particularly great. So yeah, let's just get the job done, score a few goals, and then let's see what happens.
23rd of April 2021, Everton came to the Emirates and then they beat us 1-0. So it's funny that around this time of the year, but then you'll fast forward to the year after that, 2022, in May, last game of the season, we won 5-1. Yeah. And then, you know, they beat us 1-0. Do you remember when Tarkowski scored? That was just last
year. But that's always at Goodison Park. It's always been a bit of a gnarly ground for us.
Yeah.
And then that was lucky.
Look. Yeah, can't see anything past an Arsenal win.
Yeah.
What's your prediction then for the game? Are you going to get your prediction right this season, Tabs? This is your last turn.
I'm going to go for a standard end of season in the sun 4-0.
I'm going 6-0.
Oh, wow. Jesus. Okay, goal difference is not a problem.
I'm going, look, yeah, goal difference is not a problem. They're missing a key player in Dele Alli, so 6-0. I can just see Arsenal, for some reason, don't forget my gut, guys, and it's not, I'm telling you, it's not my gut health, it's my gut feeling.
Microbiomes.
It's going to happen on Tuesday, and then we're going to respond and win this league in spectacular fashion.
Actually, I'm thinking at 3-0. I think because there's something on the game, it won't be as free, shall we say. So I'm going to go 3-0. You're going 6-0. Either way, we win 3-0. We're Premier League champions. Woohoo!
Yes, woohoo! Indeed. Thank you so much, Nathan, for joining me on this. I have no idea when the next podcast will be recorded, because we could both be on a street and homeless I'll have my hotel, so I'm okay.
That's next Sunday. It will be a very inebriated pod.
I'm in London on Saturday, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, hopefully. So the next Grove episode might be from London. It might be live from the parade.
If they don't hear from us, that's good news.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if we win, I don't give a shit about the game. I ain't analysing it. I don't care.
Yeah.
How good was he? 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. And the Stuart to every 10. Yeah, that's it. If we win the Premier League, that my analysis, everyone got 10 out of 10. We were fucking brilliant. Who cares?
Yeah. And if we win the league, if the unthinkable happens, the next pod we do will just be like an end of season review. You won't hear our thoughts on the Everton game. And I hope that happens for all the listeners. Yeah. Thank you. I just want to take this opportunity to, because look, we will speak to you guys again.
Obviously, we will do.
Pre-season and whatnot. And there will be an episode at some point next week, or the week after, I should say. But thank you for me personally, for everyone who's listened. We are well into the 2,000 listeners marks per episode, which is just outstanding. TikTok is doing amazing. So remember to follow at The Grove AFC on TikTok primarily. We're getting 20,000, 30,000 views on some videos that we've got on there. And social media will get better over the summer. And if anyone's listening to this and wants to jump on board and help out with some tips for social media or give me some help, then you're more than welcome to. You don't get a membership into The Grove, though, with that. You just get to help me with the social media. So, yeah, thank you so much for me. And Tabs, thank you so much for being a wonderful co-pilot this season.
My pleasure. I've loved every minute of it. So, and thank you to everyone for listening and the feedback and comments and all that. And come on, you Gunners.
Come on, you Gunners. I'll see you on Saturday, Tabs.
See you Saturday. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.